as we now look into the Word of God. We are talking about the business of the church, our Father's business in particular. I guess we're in part 7 of this series. And today we want to talk about the worship of the Savior. The worship of the Savior. There are 5 main purposes of the church that we kind of narrow it down to. 5 pillars that every church should be standing on. There are 5 things that the church should be doing. Every church should be doing. We talked about evangelism and feeding of the sheep, discipleship, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. We talk about fortifying the saints for ministry, servantship. We've talked about the fellowship of the body, koinonia. Again, that's fellowship. And today we're talking about worship. And we're talking about who we are worshiping. That is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Father, who is in heaven through the Spirit of God that indwells every believer. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and you don't have to stand. You can stay in your seats. I'm going to read from verse number 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How many of you know that we were created for the praises of God? We were created to worship and praise the Lord. To praise the Lord, that is included in worship. Worship and praise involves the act of humility, reverence, and showing a deep respect for God, for His goodness, as the choir so beautifully sang about the goodness of God. Why do we worship? Why do we sing? Why do we serve? It's because of God's goodness. Worship, in its definition, is ascribing to God the true worth or worthiness and telling the truth about His person, His power, and the quality of His divine characteristics. In other words, praise and worship is confessing, testifying of, sharing in, and rejoicing in the excellency of God's benevolent, kind, loving, and gracious goodness to the world. We worship the Lord because He is worthy of worship. That word worship actually comes out of the English root of worthship. God is worthy, and He has all worthiness within Himself. He's not asking us to do anything that He's not worthy of, that His worthship is not qualified for. And so when we worship the Lord, He is not someone who you would say is some egotistical maniac, that someone who is all about Himself. No, He is trying to make sure that we as His people understand the quality and the characteristics of His goodness. We sang all His life, He's been faithful. He's been what? Good. Together, when you put praise and worship together, it is celebrating the goodness of God. God did not want us to receive the blessing of life, listen to this, saints, and not know who to give thanks for or give thanks to. He did not want us to receive the blessings of life and not know who to thank. The world is looking and trying to figure out who did all of this. We know, according to Scripture, that God created ex nihilo, out of nothing. He created something for you and for me to be thankful and to know who did it. together, praise and worship is celebrating, like I said, the goodness of God. He wants us to know who to give thanks to. He did not want us to enjoy all that he has created and not give appreciation, honor, glory, and proper attribution to the character and quality of who he really is and what he has done for us. That is why we worship. Sometimes we as parents, we are accused of spoiling our children, of giving them everything they want and need without showing them the importance of showing appreciation. Am I right about it? We sometimes as parents, we spoil our children and we don't teach them the value of saying thank you and yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and being able to honor the one who has given to you the blessing of life. Yes, we are guilty of that, of not paying it, teaching them how to pay it forward. By doing for others what their parents have done for them. I believe God, through praise and worship, God has given us a way of keeping us from living a spoiled life. He is through praise and worship, trying to keep us from throwing temper tantrums because things are not going the way that we want them to go. We sometimes act like spoiled children, and through worship, God says, I'm going to keep you from being spoiled. I'm going to teach you how to be thankful. I'm going to teach you how to give honor. I'm going to give you the truth of your existence. I'm going to give you the truth of why you're here. What you came for, who created it all, so that you're not confused, so that you're not helpless and hopeless. God says, I want you to know the truth. He's not someone who's just sitting in heaven saying, I am God, hear me roar. And he would be justified to do so. But he has included us in the privilege of not being spoiled, if you will. Praise and worship keeps us grounded and from making mankind his own God. Praise and worship keeps us grounded and keeps us from becoming our own God. Are y'all with me? We're going to look at the text. The desire to worship God is, in essence, built into our spiritual DNA. All around the world, people are trying to find something and someone to worship. At one point in time in India, there were listed 330 million gods. 330 million gods. The ant was a god. The beetle was a god. The tree was a god. All the different animals were gods. And listen, God says, no, there is one God. There is one true and living God. And in worship, he says, I will not give my glory to another. So when we worship God, what we are saying is that there is one God and that we worship the one true God and that there is no other God to worship. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come unto the Father but by me. We can't even worship the Father except we come through Jesus Christ. Because why? Of his worthship. He is worthy to be praised. Look at Revelation 4 and verse 11. Revelation 4 and 11 says, worthy are you, O Lord, our God and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Let me read that again. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. We do not exist by our own will. We have been created in the image of God. God said to the Father, said to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit, he says, let us make man in our image. Don't get it twisted. You are not a byproduct of evolution. And that's why the world does not know who to thank or who to give appreciation to, because they think that they are their own God and that we have evolved our own selves. And only the strong survive. But God would not have us to be ignorant concerning creation, concerning who he is as God. Going back to our text, notice the early church. The early church, one of the main reasons they came together was to praise the Lord, was to worship the God who created them. And it says, and all that believe were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods. And notice it says goods. And in saying good, we have to understand that the goods came from a good God. And so in coming to worship the Lord, we acknowledge that God is good and that anything that is good comes from the one who is eternally good. So he says they had all things in common and sold their possession and good, and part of them is all men had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, symbolizing the presence in the house of God. And the breaking of bread from house to house, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Here's my first compliment for you today. When the church is unified in praise and worship, the body is edified as one. When the church is unified in praise and worship, the body is edified as one. That word edify means to construct something. It means to improve, to build up, or not broke down. It doesn't mean that it's falling apart, not falling apart. It means that it is built up, constructed, and that it is not decaying. Let's put that in the context of the church. When we think about what God is doing with you, he is constructing our lives together. He is putting our purpose together collectively. He is improving our lives and conforming it to the image of Jesus Christ, that we might be like him, think like him, and do as Christ would do. He is building us up as stones upon another stone into a house together, so that we might know that we are a part of our Father's house as the people of God, the church. He is building us up in the sense that he doesn't want us to be broke down. He wants us to get to the destination that he has intended for us, that we're not broke down on the side of the road. You ever been there before? All of a sudden, your car has stopped. I've had many cars that broke down. I had one Jeep. I used to have this Jeep Cherokee. Man, every time I hit a bump, that thing would shake, rattle, and roll. I would have to pull over and stop. It was a broke down vehicle. But see, God doesn't want your life to be broke down and decaying. Together as a body. In other words, he doesn't want you to be spoiled. Are y'all with me? I want to go back to the bread, or the loaf of bread theology. That's what I'm going to call it. The loaf of bread theology. Y'all remember that loaf of bread I showed you? That loaf of bread, we used some analogies to describe. We even talked about how to bake bread, didn't we? I won't go back into how to bake bread. I learned a lot from that lesson. But there was something that was said about that bread that it could spoil if what? What happens to bread over time when it spoils? What happens? It molds. The church is the body of Christ. Remember I said that every member is a what? Slice of bread. And we are a part of the whole loaf. Am I right about it? It says that the early church, they came to worship together and they came to break what? Bread together. We're going to do that today. We're going to break bread together. But I'm afraid that the Lord has given us an illustration today of what bread looks like when it molds. Because guess what? I have that same loaf of bread. This is that same loaf of bread. I want y'all to get a good look at that. You see that bread? Anybody want to have a piece of this bread? Anybody want a slice? No slice of bread? This is the same loaf I had just a week ago. Monday, it just had a green spot on it. What's today? Sunday. In just a few days, it is molded. This same beautiful loaf of bread that we talked about, that we baked and that we were talking about breaking together. Now, if I were to take this bread, which represents the body of Christ, which represents the church, if I were to take this kind of moldy, stale bread and say, who wants to break bread together? How many of you would want to participate in that kind of communion? I don't see any hands. Listen, saints, there are some things in our life that can cause us, even as believers, to present as stale. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? When we begin to sin on a habitual basis, we become stale. And nobody wants to take a slice of your bread. Nobody wants to eat from your life. There are some things when we begin to complain and to nag and to backbite. The world does not want to sample any bread like this. As a matter of fact, they would, if they went to the store, they would leave it on the shelf. God is saying to you, saints, and I believe he gave me this illustration because it was interesting, because I went to the closet, pulled it out the pantry, and I was getting ready to throw it away. Just as I said to you the other day, I said, oh man, this bread has molded. And then I could actually see it getting more mold on it even as I was just standing there watching it. It was growing so rapidly. I would walk away and I would see more mold on it when I come back. That's how sin is. Sin, it will spread rapidly. And nobody wants to be a part of our sin in the sense of presenting it as something that is good. Church, God says, I don't want you to be like this bread. Started off looking good. Started off looking tasty. But by and by, you became bitter. You became angry. You became cold. You became stale. You know, it's something about this bread. It was in the wrapper. I took it out, I put it back in, I never bothered it again. It reminds me of a barley loaf in the Bible. And the barley loaf came and it tumbled down into the field. And God is saying, the bread that I make is bread for your eternal life. It's bread that will not only feed you, but it will feed the rest of the community. Bread that would feed the world. Bread that God says, I want to give to you daily. Notice the saints, they came together. They came together daily to hear the word of God, to eat the bread of life. They came together as a body. When the church is unified, we are edified as one. Because we serve one Lord, we have one faith, we all are baptized into the one baptism of the Holy Spirit. The same Jesus that saved you is the same Jesus that saved me. The same Jesus that loves you at your best is the same Jesus who loves me at my worst. He loves us and he wants the best for us, but he wants us to understand the reason why we are to worship, and in presenting ourselves as vessels ready to be meat for the master's use. And not stale bread. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bread, the living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I can't even serve it. And be not conformed to the staleness of the world. Be not conformed to the hardness of the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that is the bread that comes from God's word. How are you going to renew your mind? You got to eat the word of God. You got to get the word in your head. You got to let it get some nutrition up there so it can begin to stimulate those brain cells. And then something begins to happen. The Holy Ghost begins to synapse into fire and send signals to the rest of the body to do what God says do. Yes. Same bread. Same bread. When the church is unified in praise and worship, the body is edified as one. Don't let the world spoil you from your purpose in praise and worship. We as a church must be careful not to spoil the unity of the body that is the loaf of bread. You know, you can spoil other members. Come on, somebody. Y'all talk to me. Tell me some ways you can spoil other members. What was that? Gossiping. Complaining. What else? Not forgiving. That spoils, doesn't it? An unforgiving spirit can spoil somebody. So just as you have been forgiven, make sure that you forgive. Am I right about it? What are some other ways that we spoil one another? Hatred. We don't mean it, but sometimes what we do is we accuse one another, or we enact something called friendly fire. On the battlefield, sometimes soldiers have been killed and shot by their own members of service. Let it not be said that the church is doing that, especially at 3600 Bamboo Road. Am I right about it? Somebody give me one more.
Flattering tongue.
Flattering tongue. Oh, shifty tongue. That tongue that knows how to weed to get what it wants. Come on, somebody. Men know how to use that sometime with women, and women do too. Can I get a witness? Know how to say just the right thing at the right time to get the wrong results. Flattery tongue. God says that is like a stale loaf of bread, and he says, I don't want you to multiply that kind of bacteria in the church. I don't want no fungus among us. Yes, there are some things that we have to be careful of. What are some of those things? You just stated a few: sin, a bad attitude, backbiting, gossiping, bitterness of spirit, jealousy, complaining, looking for fault instead of finding a fix. Yes. Notice what our text says as it reads in verse number 45, verse 46. It says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And here it is, praising God and having what? Favor with all the people. That word favor, I like to call it, that's unmerited favor. We talk about grace. In the Greek, it's called the hesed, H-E-S-E-D. God gives kindness. They were kind to one another. The early church had favor. They had kindness among themselves, and even the world that did not even know Jesus was being kind to them because they saw how kind they were to one another. It says they had favor with who? With a little bit of people. It says with what? All the people. It says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Compliment number two. When Christ is magnified in praise and worship, the church is multiplied in members. Let me say that again. When Christ is magnified in praise and worship, the church is multiplied in members. Notice the text says that God added daily because of the testimony of the saints, because of their caring for one another, because of their faith. God added. Other people were looking. Other people were watching as they were going out and sharing from house to house and breaking bread. It stirred up. People wanted to know what was going on. Why are these people so good to one another? Why they love one another? Don't they know how bad that guy is? I remember when. Oh, yes. And so we find here, it says that when we get our act together, God begins to multiply. Why would God multiply and add to a church that's divided and they can't get along amongst themselves? Why? Why should I send somebody there when they complain and talk about, and then we want other people to come into that spoiled loaf of bread? We must be careful because sometimes we put our foot in our own mouths. We talk about evangelism and wanting to reach out to people, but if we don't get that right, if we don't get our love right in the house of God, we might as well close the doors and just be a club. Just be a club that imitate doing good things. We imitate Jesus instead of replicate Jesus. Look what the Bible says, saints. God added to the church daily. So that means that if God is adding daily, that means that we must be about our Father's business. What? Daily. Speaking to people in the community, getting out of the four walls of the church. You got to get out there and talk to somebody. God has given you opportunities to just say hello. And sometimes you got to tell people about God before you can tell them about Jesus. They're not even aware that there is a God. First, you got to break it down and say, hey, there is God. And then as you begin to disciple them, then you begin to unfold Jesus. Paul did that in Acts chapter 17, the Mars Hill ministry. He said to the unknown God, he says, I declare him unto you. I don't even think he mentioned his name. He talked about what he did, but he didn't even declare his name. So sometimes we have to be walking sermons. It has been said, a sermon seen speaks louder than a sermon heard. And then when they see you walking in the spirit, when they see you not acting like a spoiled loaf of bread, they begin to ask, where did you get baked at? You said, I got baked at 3600 Bamboo Road. I came into the oven, which is called the church, and there was a baker there called the pastor, and the pastor began to break bread. He began to share the word of God, and I began to have some trials, and I was placed into the oven, and God helped me and worked me through my trials, and that's how I'm able to stand, and I'm able to work, and I'm able to take care of my family, because look what God did. Look at his goodness. Look at his mercy. Yes, all my life, he's been faithful. All my life, he's been good, and that's why I worship him. That's why I adore him. Yes. When Christ is magnified in praise and worship, the church is multiplied in members. Have you ever looked at a magnifying glass? A magnifying glass is used to make things bigger. There's this also really huge telescope. As a matter of fact, it's called the James Webb Space Telescope. It is the largest and most powerful telescope in the world. It used to be the Hubble telescope, but now it's the James Webb Space Telescope. And like I say, it's 66 feet long and 46 feet wide, and it can look into galaxies upon galaxies, each with trillions of stars that they say, listen, are over 33 billion light years away. And that means that's how far light would have to travel in order to reach Earth. 33 billion light years away. That's eternity to us. Am I right about it? And this telescope is amazing. With all that power to see the cosmos, yet mankind has failed to see the closeness of Jesus. With all that power, they can look past the Milky Way galaxy, and the Milky Way galaxy is really, really far. I had an opportunity to see it one night when no lights were on. And God said, look up there, that's the Milky Way galaxy. I said, I had never seen it before. Because we have all the lights that glare. But you know, you can actually look up and see the Milky Way galaxy when you are in the right environment that has no haze of lights, no false lights imitating the true light. There are a lot of false lights out there, false doctrines, false teaching that's keeping people from seeing the true light and the beauty and the glory of God's splendor. Because why? All these false lights are hazing over you and you can't see Jesus. He says, I want you to see Jesus. Listen, saints, listen. As far as that is, 33 billion light years away, that's as far as we can see. But that's just a fraction of the years in light that Jesus had to transcend and cross over to get to you. God, who stepped in time, let me put it this way, God, who created time before there was time, existed beyond time, came to save you in the nick of time so that he can always say he's an on-time God. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? It's just a fraction. In other words, yes, you can look at a magnifying glass. A magnifying glass is there to make things bigger so that you can see it better. And God, in his wisdom, has chosen to use his word and the testimony of the saints to make God bigger. In other words, God says, listen, church, you are my magnifying glass. You are my James Webb telescope. And guess what? I'm going to reveal my glory through you. Yes, I don't need 33 billion light years away. All I need is a willing and ready child of God who's willing to let their light so shine that they may see their good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. And others will come and bow down and worship and praise God who is in you. In the closeness of the Spirit of God that abides in you. Yes, God in his wisdom has chosen to reveal his word and his testimony through ordinary people, to magnify Jesus through the preached word, through our trials and our tests, to magnify Jesus in the things that God is turning around and somehow turns it into a testimony as he begins to magnify himself inside of us. We begin to magnify the goodness of God. We begin to declare that he is worthy to be praised. And as we do so, others begin to see Jesus more clearly. We begin to see Jesus more clearly. I like how David says in Psalms 34, verses 1 through 3. He says, I will bless the Lord at what? All times. lips. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be what? Glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Get your James Webb telescope with me, and let us magnify the God who created the galaxies. Not just say 33 billion galaxies away or light years away, but he's the one who created the galaxies, the stars, the moon, as David says, and all that exists. He says, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. And see, that's the miracle of worship. Because when we shouldn't be magnifying God, when we should be mad and angry at God, when we should feel like we need to give up on God, we have the word that tells us, no, we worship him. We are not unthankful. We are not unholy. We recognize where our help comes from. I will look into the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. He made the heavens and the earth. Don't you try to trick me. I like how somebody would say, you can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. You got to know it in your heart. Down in your heart. Can't nobody take that away. Nobody can take your praise away. There was a song that I used to sing to my children when they were kids. I want to give you a song to sing. I'll put them to bed. A song they can't take from you. I'm going to give you a song to sing, a song to praise his name. You can play it on an instrument. You can beat it on the loudest drum. You can shout it from the mountain high. One thing they can't take away. That's the song that you sing. You can't let nobody take away your song. Don't let nobody take away your praise. Don't let nobody take away your faith in Jesus. God is who he said he is. He doesn't need our approval. He reigns supreme. He's God Almighty. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, and everywhere at the same time. That's our God. He says, I want you to know something. I don't want you to be an unthankful child of God. I want you to understand who gave you all these good things, even in the midst of your bad things. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise, if you take the P off of praise, what does it spell? You got it. And so when we praise God, saints, really what we're doing is we are coming in to lift up all the good things that our God has done. We use the word kudos to give praise. We are lifting up Jesus Christ so that people can plainly see who is the Savior of the world. Who is he that changes and transforms? Who is he that gives eternal life? And there is only one. His name is Jesus Christ. Yeshua Elohim Adonai. That is our Lord and Savior. Yes, Lord. He says his praise is going to be in my mouth. Don't you know that praise, it includes the body? But what's on the inside must at some point come out on the outside. And so that's why if we have joy on the inside and if we have the articulation of our tongue, we're able to move it and give praise to God. If we're able to speak a language, if we're able to hum, if we're able to moan, even if we're just able to grunt, we got to say that Jesus is good. He says he's gonna be continually in my mouth, in my ups and my downs, in my trials, in my good times and bad times. When people talk about me, I'm gonna bless God anyhow. When people say good things about me, I'm gonna bless God anyhow. When things are not going right, I'm gonna bless God anyhow. When things seem to be going crazy, I'm gonna bless God anyhow, anyway, because he is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Did you know that praise is magnetic? Praise is magnetic. How many of you ever seen a car? I remember my wife and I, when we first met, she had a Toyota Corolla, champagne Toyota Corolla. Yes, Lord. We drove that car everywhere, didn't we, Miss Harris? It had a little ding on it, had a big old stain on the back of that car. But we had transportation. One day we were coming home, my wife was in the Navy at that time, and we were coming home and a car hit us right there on Western Branch Boulevard. Straight ahead, banged up her knee real bad, had to get stitches, had to sew all the way down to the bone. And we went back to go and look at the car from the wreck. They took it to the junkyard. And they said the car was totaled. Do you know what they do with a totaled car? They recycle it. And then what they do, when you go to the junkyard, there's a thing called a junkyard magnet. They call it sometime a scrap magnet. And the magnet will come over if there's a car set for recycling. The magnet will come over and lift up the car. And as it lifts up the car, it then takes it and transports it to a place where they can melt down the metal. And as they melt down the metal, they take it and they begin to reform and to reshape the metal into something that was useful. And as they make it something more useful, other people get the benefit of it and they are attracted to what was made. Listen, saints, and it all came from a broken down car. Listen, you may have a situation in your life or you may have had something in your past that left you broke down in life, but you can allow the praise of God to magnify you to Jesus. Jesus will then take your life. He will then melt it down. He would shape and fold and mold your life into something that is useful, so that when other people see your life that was useless, they are now attracted to you that is now useful. And now that you're useful to the Lord, guess what? Other people are going to see the glory of God in you. Oh, as it says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that's God who created. Listen, he created the work. He says, I will complete it in you. God, Christ says, I will perfect that which concerns you. He's going to shape and to mold you into his image, being confident of this very thing, that he that begun a good work in you will complete it. Will shape it, will mold it, will finish it. Oh, I like how Job said, oh, when God gets through with me, listen, I shall come forth as pure gold. Yes, praise is magnetic and it has lifting power. If you go to the junkyard, look at the junkyard magnet. Just don't look at it as trash. Look at it as God's transforming power in your life. God chose to use his lifting power of the cross and the lifting power of his love to magnetize us to himself, and said, I am going to reshape, transform, and make you new and useful for the glory of God as you understand his worthship. People are attracted to good news. Good times, which leads to a good God. I'm going to say that again. People are attracted to good news and good times, which leads to a good God. Praise is testifying to the goodness of God in an evil world. And the scriptures remind us, if nobody else will say so, that God is good. If nobody else will testify of his saving power. If nobody else will declare the works of the Lord and declare his glory in the heavens. If the rocks refuse to talk, let it be said that the redeemed of the Lord said so. Let it be said that the redeemed of the Lord said so. Said what? That he is worthy to be praised, that he is worthy to be worshiped. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I want to ask you a question. Are you attracting people with your praise, or are we repelling people with our opposition to Christ, to His Word, to His leadership over our lives? Answer that question, if you will. Are you willing to be a magnet so that others can come to Jesus? And your praise, remember, is magnetic. Why don't you keep on magnifying Jesus, exalting His name? Through it all, He's still God. God bless you, saints. God bless you. We will now prepare ourselves for